Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
So they keep on telling me that the Golden State Warriors get everyone's best shot. Well, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to get the Denver Nuggets' best shot tonight. The Nuggets, they're trying to establish something. They're trying to prove something. The regular season for the Denver Nuggets is very much a proving ground they're interested in flexing in. They haven't been to the postseason to even prove themselves there since Andre Iguodala joined the Golden State Warriors. That's the last time the Nuggets have seen postseason play. So the regular season, very much Denver's proving ground, and they would like to prove to the Warriors tonight that they're worthy of a one seed. You know, when it's all said and done, I don't think they will be. I think the Warriors will, more than symbolically, they are the best team in the West. But maybe the one seed will be the Denver Nuggets. We have no idea. A little bit more of itself will reveal itself to us tonight. They think they're the one seed, and why wouldn't they? Because if it all ended right now, they are the one seed. My question for the Golden State Warriors, my question for you tonight is, do you think Golden State wants this one? Do you think the Warriors are going to use this game in any way, shape, or form to make a statement? I would love to say yes. I think it's no. I think it's no. This is something that Steve Kerr even was asked about today. It was addressed in practice. Are you already having visions of Boogie dancing in your head? And Steve Kerr said,
I'm not really thinking about DeMarcus until he plays in that Clipper game. So, you know, these next two games really are about what we've been doing already. And we've made a few tweaks here and there last week. And we'll continue playing the way we have. We've got a nice little roll going, and hopefully we keep it going.
He is right. They do have a nice little roll going. For the first time in a long time, the Warriors are rolling in the right direction. So they're probably very happy with that. On the road to DeMarcus, I guess they're not thinking about it yet. At least that's what Steve said. I have trouble believing him. I'm not calling Steve a liar. He might not be thinking about DeMarcus Cousins. I think his team is. I think DeMarcus is pretty much the line in the sand that the Warriors have decided, all right, when we get to this line in the sand, we're going to start playing not just differently because we're acclimating a new player into what we do, but we're going to play differently in terms of impressing the NBA on a night-in, night-out basis. I think the Warriors understand that they are built to be something bigger than anyone else can be, and they're going to want to live up to that reputation the minute their reputation is theirs again, because he is now out on the court with them. I really think the Warriors are not mentally checked out, but I think they are going to really mentally check in when DeMarcus Cousins shows up in this lineup. We heard again, Clippers 18th from Steve Kerr in that soundbite. It sounds like Steve Kerr just took the possibility of him maybe playing tomorrow and debuting, just a kiss of court time for the home crowd. I don't think that's going to happen now. I thought he left the door open. It feels like he just closed the door right there. And it is going to be DeMarcus on Friday as Boogie Week, the road to DeMarcus, continues. Road to Damascus, get it? To biblical reference, kids.
I got it.
You can look that one up. Look, he's going to make plays. And when the Warriors play right and they're making plays for each other, they're unbeatable. The Denver Nuggets make plays for each other. This is a, hey, not my ball, your ball, hot potato basketball team, if there was one, in the NBA right now. They are a very unselfish, move the ball, share the ball, make every defense work as hard going left to right as it does going north to south on a basketball court. And they are a handful, especially when they're at the Pepsi Center. They're 18-3 at home. The Nuggets are 8-2 in their last 10 games. One of them is a loss to Houston. By the way, James Harden's warpath continued last night. He scored over 50. He had 36 at halftime. He had taken 21 shots at halftime. James Harden is here for souls, children, and bodies. It's amazing. Don't like it? He doesn't care. It's incredibly productive. And right now, it's amazing. Mike D'Antoni basically put the cape on him and said, all right, you're Superman. You're going to get us through a Clint Capella injury. You're going to get us through a Chris Paul injury. And he's like, cool, I can do that. I want another MVP. One of the things that was great about the Steph Curry performance that we just saw him put out there wasn't how good he was from three. 48 points for Steph, that's special, but it happens. I don't want to say it's a common occurrence. It should never be ignored. But we expect big outputs from Steph Curry. And the only reason why we don't expect a big output from Steph Curry is because there's a lot of guys on this team who are capable of big outputs. What was amazing about the win over the Dallas Mavericks was the way that Kevin Durant kept giving the ball back to Steph Curry over and over and over again. Kerr is calling Durant's number. Durant, he's passing on his own number, giving the ball to Steph. I don't want to say I'm reading too far in between the lines here. When asked tonight, while they were getting ready and shoot around about Nikola Jokic, who is putting up an MVP caliber season, the Denver Nuggets, if they changed their name to the Denver Jokic's, that would be fine, because he is the heartbeat of what they do. His usage numbers are up. His production is up across the board. Kevin Durant was asked about Jokic, and here's what he had to say.
He's got more opportunity, and you're in the offense to him. You know, coach trusts him to make plays, and he's coming through making plays for him. So, it's just when you grow your game and you get better, you get more comfortable. The opportunities come a little bit more, and you start to show yourself, and that's what he's doing.
Maybe I'm guilty of reading in between the lines. Maybe I'm always worried that Kevin Durant is trying to tell us something. He's telling us something that he's really not talking about. There's a message in the message in the message. And I definitely need to do less of that, because it leads you down the wrong road as often as it leads you to X marks the spot. But in a way, is Kevin Durant not almost a little jealous of Jokic's opportunities? Last game, we just talk about Steph exploding because Kevin Durant was sacrificing his opportunities. And before the next game even tips off, he's talking about player opportunity on court. And I don't know, is there something there? I would think on a nightly basis, the lesson that Kevin Durant learns is this league, this association is brutally hard, and having devastatingly efficient and effective teammates is a really nice way to exist. It's a really nice way to prioritize just getting through the regular season, and we'll see you in the postseason, everybody, and that's what matters to a player like me. If I were KD, that's the way I would feel. But then KD watches the praise that gets heaped on Klay Thompson when he goes for a virtuoso performance. He watches the praise that get heaped on Curry when he goes virtuoso. You've got James Harden putting together 3 weeks of virtuoso, and everybody's talking about him as just MVP again. I wonder if Kevin Durant doesn't sit around going, that would be me, that could be me, that is me, if I were on a team where winning on a night-in, night-out basis didn't solely depend on a virtuoso performance from me. Like I said, James Harden, he took 30-plus shots in last night's game to get another big, gaudy win total. Durant will have an afternoon where we all are like, wow, Kevin was really involved. He played well. He played efficiently. He only takes 13, 16 shots. Can you imagine if Kevin Durant were taking 35 shots a night? That can't happen with Curry getting his shots up, with Clay getting his shots up, and there's a player coming in soon, and DeMarcus Cousins, that is going to want to get his shots up too. I hope I'm not reading in between the lines there. You tell me, am I reading too much of the tea leaves for Kevin Durant? And he's just really talking about Nikola Jokic and why he's an improved player this year. Again, the Nuggets, they're using this regular season. They're trying to establish themselves.
They're established right now. You know what I'm saying? They know how they're going to play. They have an identity. They're not an up-and-coming team anymore. So you just look at them as one of the elite teams you just got to have a good night against.
They're unselfish. Really, they don't have star power with the exception of Jokic. They move the ball. That is a basketball team. And basketball teams are, you need to be aware of them. Because when they're making the effort that you might not be willing to make that night, you get beat. That's how that happens a lot, and it happens a lot at Pepsi Center. This game tonight might depend as much on Alphonso McKinney and Kevon Looney as it does any of the stars, because if there is a dip when stars are resting, I could see Steve Kerr white flag this one, because if we can all agree, just a little, that there's a tiny bit of truth behind every joke we tell. Well, Steve Kerr and I were joking around about him sandbagging or rooting for the Nuggets because he doesn't want to go coach another All-Star game, and we will talk about that when we come on back and take your calls. Am I reading a little bit too much into the tea leaves on Kevin Durant there? The Golden State Warriors, do you believe that they're thinking this game and the next game are as important as what comes starting Friday when DeMarcus joins the rotation? 888-957-9570. Because they're in Denver, we got a short one today. John Dickinson's going to join us live from Denver next. BJ Armstrong at 4 o'clock. And my good friend Gianna Franco right now with the very latest and what's coming up this afternoon here on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Damon. Well, today on The Game, the Warriors are riding a four-game win streak as they visit Denver today for a showdown between the Western Conference's two top teams.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
It's about time. Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 4:30 with Steiny and Guru. By the way, the pot for Warriors trivia now up to $500. Not bad.
500 again.
Not bad.
That's a real number.
It is. Our very own JD caught up with Kerr at Shootaround earlier today, talked about playing in Denver.
But historically, Denver teams have been difficult to beat here with the altitude. The fact that they're an excellent team, getting better all the time, and playing at altitude, it makes it a difficult place to play.
We'll check in with John Dickinson in just a couple minutes. He's coming up at 3:20. And speaking of head coach Steve Kerr, his former teammate BJ Armstrong joins Damon at 4 o'clock. And be sure to listen to Joe Low and Dibs tomorrow morning as Kalena Azubuki joins them in studio from 9 to 10 a.m. to react to Warriors versus Nuggets. And remember, you can catch all the conference championship games this Sunday. Rams and Saints at 12:05, followed by Patriots at Chiefs kickoff at 3:40, right here live on 95.7 The Game, your home for the NFL playoffs.
Still to come,
more of your calls. Next, we are brought to you by Lenardi's and Freedman's Appliance and Pleasant Hill. Visit Freedman's Appliance, magnificent 25,000 square foot showroom, and find more at freedmansappliance.com. I'm Gianna Franco on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
BJ Armstrong's going to join us in about 40 minutes from right now. Not only was he a heck of an NBA player, won three championships, played with the Golden State Warriors for 3 years, was obviously a teammate of Steve Kerr's for a couple of years in Chicago. We're going to have B.J. Armstrong, who is now the agent for Draymond Green, also Pierre two times. We'll ask him about JaVale, see how JaVale's doing. He is coming up at 4 o'clock. We're really looking forward to that conversation. Our man John Dickinson, boots on the ground in Denver in just a moment. We're coming out to your calls real quick, though. 888-957-9570 about the Warriors and what you want to see tonight. Was I reading a little bit too much into Kevin Durant talking about how Nikola Jokic has all these opportunities? Does he sit around wondering what it would be like if he got to shoot 30 times a night the way James Harden did? Maybe I'm reading too much into it. This is John in Concord. John, you're on 95.7 The Game. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing, Damon? How you doing, Gianna?
We're great, man. Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to talk about this game, man. To be honest with you, it's really much ado about nothing. It's number one seed. for me, I'm looking to see how well Looney will do against bigs like Jokic and Nurkic in the playoffs, and hopefully Steve Kerr can recognize that and use him appropriately. And about, you know, if I could talk about college basketball real quick with the Indiana Hoosiers and the USF Dons, if they go and meet in anywhere in any championship, that's the end of the world, Damon. Trust me. And also, I got an idea for you and those tea leaves. You can just put in your pipe and smoke it, man.
Oh, smart. Very. You know what? Right. I guess if you're looking at USF and Indiana in a Final Four, you might be smoking something, too. I love you, John. Thank you. I've never even had anyone put USF and Indiana in the same sentence for me before.
First time I've heard it.
Let's do it. Let's book the Hoosiers a game up on the hilltop. I'd love to go see that. USF is going to Assembly Hall. Maybe I can hop on the team plane for a night.
There you go.
This is Oscar in Fairfield. How are you, Oscar?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
The minute I heard you say something like about Kevin Durant, you know, thinking maybe what if I, you know, how would it be if I got 30? Well, it's hard for me to understand that when you was the MVP finals, MVP twice, you just couldn't do that without the team putting it into your hands. So to me, it's like I don't see how you would even think that when he has many opportunities. And to be a finals MVP, you know, that's the best opportunity you could have with any team.
No doubt about it. And as we look at the lessons that he's been learning here over the last couple years, I hope the most important lesson is, as almost deck stacked unfairly, according to the rest of the league, as talented as the Warriors are, it's still a grind. It's still a grind. The NBA is more interesting now than it's been in a really, really, really long time. And speaking of really long time, it's been a while since we've talked to JD out on the road. You know, I know where he is. I know that he's in Denver, but I want to hear the damn song anyway.
Sean Dickinson, super reporter.
Yeah.
Big game bounties, boots on the ground.
Crank it.
Sean Dickinson, super reporter. Where will he be now? Let's go out to jail.
I mean, and if Genesis ever wants to do a reunion tour, Phil Collins isn't available, you need to call Derek Papa. What a vocal performance. Always good to have John Dickinson, our reporter, who is with the Warriors in Denver tonight. John, thank you so much for joining us. Has the altitude already gotten to you? Are you out of breath before you've even said anything?
Absolutely not. I got a run in this morning in Denver, and a nice, you know, cold weather run. And I was able to work all of the altitude problems out of my system very, very early this morning.
So poppycock, these NBA guys are just complainers. No problem at all. John Dickinson's VO2 max is good. They should be fine tonight. Good.
Well,
to know.
I don't need the same VO2 max that these guys do. We'll put it that way. But for what I need to get done, I'm able to get it done.
I hope you get it done tonight. I hope the Warriors want to get it done tonight. I think if they do, they can accomplish anything on a court. If they don't, well, another team can take advantage of that. And I think that right now the Denver Nuggets are going to give whatever the Warriors. Like the Warriors say, we get everybody's best shot. Well, here comes the Super Bowl from the Denver Nuggets tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think the Warriors, this is a game that tests, I think, if the last four games have really been for real. You know, look, they won because Curry was unbelievable on Sunday in Dallas, and Durant pitched in, and Klay Thompson made some big shots in the fourth quarter, and they made some big defensive plays. They stole that game in Sacramento going back, a little over a week and a half or so ago. They had the Knicks and the Bulls in at Oracle. You know, it wasn't always pretty in those four games, but it's added up to a four-game winning streak since that loss to the Rockets. But tonight is the game that every time you think the Warriors are just about to get on a real big-time run, they lose a game like tonight. You know, there's a game like tonight on the schedule. The Warriors have been playing so well on the road, winning eight of the last nine since December 3rd. I think this is a game that is going to tell you a lot about, you know, just the progress and how much this Warriors team really believes that they need to get on a run at this midpoint of the season.
And, John, I think it's also a little bit of an experiment or we're going to do a little research into their level of focus. If you told me that the minute DeMarcus Cousins shows up is their line in the sand moment where they, you know, decide, okay, from here on out, things are different. Well, we're still two games away from that, which would give them a little wiggle room tonight if they were on to take their eye off the prize and think this really begins when DeMarcus gets into the lineup on Friday. I could see them let off the gas a little bit in this one.
Yeah, I think really tonight and tomorrow, I think you could put, you know, both in that category. I mean, anytime you're either going to Denver or coming from Denver, that's a long night, you know, for a team that's got to play the next night. Now, obviously, you'd rather play in Denver the first game as opposed to the second game. And the Warriors already did this back in October. They played in Denver and then went home and played the Phoenix Suns the second night of the back-to-back. So I think just the layout of the schedule also, Damon, gives the Warriors a little bit of an excuse if they want to take it with the off day coming Thursday and then the long road trip, which will begin in L.A. with the DeMarcus Cousins' return on Friday.
Were you able to see open court shoot around tonight? And if you were, was DeMarcus out there with them?
Nobody's out tonight. I mean, I was out earlier for at shoot around today, yes. And I, you know, it's funny, I actually didn't notice DeMarcus because when they let everybody in today, they basically, it was rapid fire. There was a huge group of Denver media that was here, and Steve Kerr was already walking over to the corner spot of the floor, and all the cameras and everybody with the microphones, myself included, kind of gathered around, and it was rapid fire, boom, 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 from Kerr to Durant to Stephen Curry. So I didn't get that usual good look, but yeah, Cousins was in the building for sure. I actually walked by him as I was walking out of the arena, and everybody was filing off the back to get on the bus to head back to the hotel for the afternoon before coming back for the game tonight.
John Dickinson in Denver with the Warriors Nuggets tonight. We're going to get you out to Warriors Live in an hour from now here on 95.7 The Game. The plan is to have DeMarcus play on Friday. Seems like everybody is committed to that plan. You don't think it'll be amended at all? He might sneak on the court tomorrow, do you?
I really don't. I really don't. I think, you know, the game tomorrow is a nice, I think, breaking point for, okay, you get through tonight. Tonight and tomorrow are almost together. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like tonight and tomorrow are one game, you know, put into two, just with the travel and the back-to-back and everything, and then the off day on Thursday. So, no, I would be surprised as much as he may want to play against the Pelicans, although he said he, you know, it's not about revenge for him. He went out of his way to say he's got bigger things going on than worrying about revenge against anybody, whether it's the Pelicans or their front office or the Sacramento Kings or the Lakers for not maybe making him an offer when he wanted one, a more significant offer before he called the Warriors, and the rest was history. So no, I still think it's going to wind up being Friday night at Staples Center.
So, yeah, well, it's going to happen. It really feels like it's going to be a big turning point in the season. We're going to get Warriors version 2.0 the minute DeMarcus is in that starting lineup. It would have been interesting to have him out there tonight only for that matchup. Nikola Jokic is obviously having an MVP-like season, averaging 20-10-7 on the year. These are the Denver Jokic's as much as they are the Denver Nuggets. He's also leading them in steals. This guy is as skilled a big man as you're going to find. And I think if you had to red flag a single Golden State Warrior for, you know, if he doesn't play A-plus tonight, they're going to have trouble winning. It's Draymond's night to bring this team to victory, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And they run everything through Jokic. I mean, they throw it to him down low. They throw it to him out high. They cut off of him. He's able to score. He's able to draw fouls. He's able to get them into their offense, whether it's, you know, shots for a guy like Jamal Murray, whether it's back cuts. I mean, he'll even take the ball and bring it up the court himself off a rebound sometimes and look to make a play that way. He's just a terrific player, a terrific offensive skill set. And, yeah, he is the engine that makes the Nuggets go. But they've got a lot of talented wing players as well, athletic guys that can knock down some shots and that can bother the Warriors and have bothered the Warriors at different points these last couple of years, even before this team actually turned himself into a bona fide playoff team as they've done this season.
I don't know what your dinner plans are for tonight, but can I throw out just one idea? I was just there in Denver a couple months ago. L5.
Do it.
L5, not L as in El Diablo, but L as in level 5. This restaurant is on top of a parking garage, believe it or not. L5, JD, you will not be unhappy if you go.
I've got it down, Damon, and I've got your breakfast recommendation for tomorrow down as well. That was a little side text earlier in the afternoon.
I want to make sure you're well-fed while you're out there working hard for us. JD, thank you so much, man. Good to talk to you. Enjoy tonight's game. Enjoy your meal. Enjoy your breakfast.
Appreciate it, Damon. Thanks.
There he is. The man, the myth, the legend, the theme song, John Dickinson.
Soon to be the well-fed John Dickinson.
Oh, let me tell you, there's this place in Denver called the Denver Biscuit Company.
That picture you showed me, holy cow, that looked amazing.
I am not a big, let me take a picture of this before I eat it guy. As much as I love food, I am not a take a picture of my food kind of guy. I took a picture of that damn biscuit. It was so good and sexy looking.
It looked good.
Oh, it was good. Denver Biscuit Company. Write that down. Went in the Rocky Mountains.
That's where you go.
I highly, highly recommend. And by the way, that was my audience recommending that to me. When I was there, I put it up on Twitter. And so many of my Twitter followers got back to me. They're like, dude, for breakfast, Denver Biscuit Company.
See, Twitter's good for something.
Check it out.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is good for that. You know what it's not good for? Sarcasm. Big win for Syracuse at Duke. And so I tweeted last night. I was like, did anybody in the media go to Syracuse? Like, come on, everybody in the damn sports media pretty much went to Syracuse. Our very own Greg Papa went to Syracuse.
Hello.
Thank you very much. And people were sending me lists.
Oh, God.
Of people in sports talk radio who actually went to Syracuse. Like, oh, there needs to be a font for rhetorical. There needs to be a sarcasm font.
A translation button. I mean, seriously, stuff like that gets lost in translation.
I guess so.
It does.
I guess so. So we all know that there's always a little truth in every joke that we tell. We were joking around with Steve Kerr how much he really wanted to beat the Nuggets tonight again. If they're the one seed heading into the All-Star break, Steve Kerr is coaching that All-Star team. If they're not, he won't have to. Just joking around with Steve, I said this last week. Are you already putting together your All-Star game plan?
How do you know I'm not quietly cheering for Denver every day?
Ooh! Oh, by the way, we were really looking to break some news on today's show. There it is. Steve Kerr quietly rooting for Denver.
No, you know what? It's this would be the third time if it does happen. So it's in terms of coaching the All-Star game. And it's always one of those things where it's a great thrill and you're honored, you're excited about it, but then you kind of go, man, I could use a few days off.
I bet. Of course you're honored. Of course you like the limelight. Of course you like the spotlight. But Steve stood in that limelight and in that spotlight plenty of times. I'm sure he would be more than happy to have a weekend off.
Sure.
Have a couple days off. Not having the media commitments that are the All-Star weekend, the All-Star Saturday, Sunday night, that like he could just stay here. He doesn't have to get private plane down there. And it's not like he needs to circle the wagons for the integrity of the Western Conference because the All-Star game doesn't even get down like that anymore. The All-Star game is going to have two captains pick players.
Right.
And that's how. So he might be coaching against Kevin Durant, against Steph Curry. I don't think he wants to do that. Like I said, a little bit of truth in every single joke we tell. Are you already putting together your All-Star game plan?
How do you know I'm not quietly cheering for Denver every day?
Ooh!
Look at that.
And by the way, let me just say, before this gets back to Steve Kerr, that, hey, you know, Damon was talking about how you were looking to throw the game against the Nuggets. I love how unguarded and comfortable Steve Kerr is with us, and that he's willing to joke around with us, and I would never want that to change. This is Mike calling from Vallejo, wants to talk about altitude. Well, in Vallejo, they do know something about getting high. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, what's up, DB? It's your favorite Dodger fan.
Oh, good to have you again.
So I had a quick comment about the whole altitude and how it affects your breathing. I was stationed in Colorado at Fort Carson when I was a lot younger. And obviously, being in the Army, I was in pretty good shape. So when I got there, I didn't really feel the difference. So these guys complaining about, like, oh, my God, the altitude and all that. I mean, these guys are professional athletes. They train with these new masks on to, you know, get used to that in the first place. So I don't see, like, what all the whining's about. I think it's just, like, it's in their head. Where you do notice the difference is, like, when I was there, I was running 2 miles in high 12s, low 13s. And then when I came back to California, I was running 2 miles in, like, high 11s. So there was, like, a big minute difference in the running. But like I said, these guys are professional athletes. They should have been in a better physical shape than I ever was.
Look, I think it's different. And, no matter how hard you were running that day during a jog, given 8 straight minutes of live NBA action, has got to be incredibly taxing, even on an elite world-class athlete. Mike, thank you very much for the call. You said you were stationed out in Colorado. Thank you for your service as well. The only thing I know about altitude is this. When I've been to Denver, not that I've ever exerted myself really hard one way or another to the point where I was, you know, doubled over, both hands on my knees, gasping for air. Like, I've never experienced that. But I did stay a summer week in Winter Park, Colorado. By the way, if Winter Park, Colorado is really nice in the winter, which I'm guessing it is for all the skiing. I mean, it's called Winter Park, Colorado. You should see it during the summer. It is gorgeous. It was one of the most breathtaking weeks I've ever spent high up in the mountains. It was beautiful. And for a full day, I could not get out of bed. I was altitude sick.
Really?
I was altitude sick with the worst pounding headache of my entire life. I've never had a migraine headache. From what I hear, I hope I never have a migraine headache. It felt like what that must be. My head was so splitting, and they said it's the altitude and it's the dehydration that you go through. Drinking water all damn day long is what you need to do if you want to go ahead and play well in Denver. If you just forget playing well in Denver, if you just want to stay in Denver, not Denver the city, but you go up into the Rocky Mountains,
sure.
Like he said, 12,000, 13,000 feet elevation, and that's where Winter Park, Colorado is. Oh, man. I mean, it was so dramatic, it took a day out of my week.
Just to kind of get acclimated?
Yes.
Feel better? Wow.
Yes. And after a couple of days, I felt like, okay, my body had adjusted. But, man, I always thought, yeah, it's a little bit more of a myth. It's a little bit more of a wives' tale than it is a reality. No, it's a reality. Steve Kerr, by the way, was talking about the altitude in Denver.
Most really good teams are hard to beat at home. It's just it's the nature of the game. But historically, Denver teams have been difficult to beat here with the altitude. It's just the way it is when you combine those two factors. The fact that they're an excellent team, getting better all the time, and playing at altitude. It makes it a difficult place to play.
Again, one, they're good. Two, they're used to playing in here. Three, we're not. The Denver Nuggets are 18-3 at home. Look at that roster. Tell me that's an 18-3 roster. You can't see it. I can't see it either. So what gives them that advantage at home? Are fans in Denver louder than anywhere else? No. There is something to it. No doubt about it. We'll ask B.J. Armstrong's played tons of games in Denver. We'll ask him about it when we say hello to B.J. Armstrong coming up at 4 o'clock. By the way, Kevin Durant, of course. Look, there's no way anyone can go to Denver without being asked about the altitude. Here's what Kevin Durant had to say.
Your first few steps, you're definitely going to feel that heart rate start to rise. It's different in different arenas, but if you've been playing here, you kind of know them. You know, how to get that first win out the way pretty quickly. So, you know, I try to hydrate all day. Go extremely hard in pregame warm-ups and, you know, get ready for the game.
By the way, a lot of people on the Chilton Auto Body text line are weighing in with their thoughts on altitude. First of all, D. Bruce, go play golf. Go play golf in Colorado. Your ball carries about 20 to 30 yards further than it does at sea level. That's from Chris in Oakland. Another guy said the only problem he had is he was at a Raider game at Mile High and he had to slow his drinking down from the, in the second quarter. Yeah, well, it does affect you. Booze affects you, I think, a little bit faster. Do you see that they're also trying to go thumbs up on magic mushrooms in the state of Colorado?
Yeah.
Sounds like we might have to play a little Tim Roy on acid before the end of the show today. 888-957-9570. We have been talking Warriors. We've been talking Nuggets. We've been talking altitude. We've been doing that for the first 40 minutes of today's show. We'll do more of it with BJ Armstrong at 4 o'clock. But when I come back, the most amazing thing, this one's about Tom Brady. And I'll tell you, Tom Brady is putting quarterbacking playoff numbers so far out of reach. The only thing it reminds me of is the way that Jerry Rice took his records and put them so far out of reach for the next guy. I don't know if any quarterback is ever going to come close to knocking on the door of where Tom Brady is. Just in terms of postseason wins, I'll have that for you next with the most amazing thing here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Is the number. We're about to get you out to the most amazing thing, and this one's about Tom Brady. And to be totally honest with you, if the New England Patriots walk into Arrowhead Stadium during an Arctic blast, I think that's advantage New England. It really is. New England can get tight with you. They can kill you with a running game. They can kill you with tight ends. They can kill you with blocking tight ends. That is a game that is instantly advantage, I think, New England. If you just have a day where your passing game might not be what you want it to be, I like Tom Brady in that scenario. I do. You might, too, after you hear this most amazing thing. We got all week to talk about this. It's going to be fantastic. Arctic blast?
Brr.
Okay, so being from upstate New York, I know what cold weather conditions are. I understand what chill, cold weather fronts are. I've never even heard of Arctic blast until they were selling this game in Kansas City.
Really?
Arctic blast? It sounds like something you would get as dessert at Dairy Queen. It sounds like a new flavor of Mountain Dew. Like, have you tried Mountain Dew Arctic Blast, available only at Taco Bell?
Well, I mean, we don't experience those type of weather events here anyway, to that extreme, obviously, but in the East Coast.
Yeah, but I
or
still
the Midwest.
They're making them new. They're making them new names.
No, I think it's a total like meteorological. A meteorologist would know what that is.
They're coming up with it. They're rebranding it. Arctic Blast is nothing more than wintry conditions with a better agent.
To scare you and freak you out.
Really? Arctic blast. Oh, no.
It sounds cold and it sounds like a place I do not want to be.
No, you don't want to be in the, you don't want to be Arctic blasted no matter where you are.
Apparently, it's like brutally cold temperatures.
What are they saying? Like minus, right? Minus 10?
Yeah, like 10 degrees or like minus zero at the start of kickoff, something like that.
All right. So the number one thing about Arrowhead is the noise. The noise that the fans make on third down is really something else. Arrowhead is a big, nasty, loud stadium.
So I hear
if every single person there is wearing a ski mask or a scarf, it's not going to be as loud as it would have been on a nice day. Very muffled. That crowd is going to be muffled.
So advantage Patriots with that too?
Not only do I like the Patriots, if you like the Patriots, you might as well put it on the money, honey. They're getting three. I think I got to go with the Patriots. Damon, Arctic Blast sounds like designer meth.
Designer meth.
Thank you very much.
We still have some time. You know, weather can change. Not dramatically, but it can, you know, maybe it'll be a little warmer than expected.
Arctic Blast sounds like a Gatorade flavor.
I think it is, isn't it?
It might be. Yeah, Damon, Chicago and Northwest Indiana went through a polar vortex in 2014. Exactly. What the hell is that?
Well, that
polar vortex didn't have half the agent that Arctic Blast has. Because Polar Vortex came and went. Polar Vortex was a cup of coffee. I feel like Arctic Blast is here to stay.
Well, also because it's affecting such a big game. I mean, it's a playoff game. So I think that's why it's getting a lot of attention.
What's the coldest game in NFL history? Wasn't there a playoff game in Cincinnati? It was like minus 23. So something ridiculous. There was a playoff game in Cincinnati that might have been the coldest postseason game ever on record. That was just called back in the day, like 1980, whatever that happened. They just called that cold. There was no Arctic Blast. There was no Polar Vortex. There was nothing for you to click on in 1983. They didn't have to put sexy words together.
That would have been a great headline.
They would print a newspaper, and then the headline would just be like, "It's cold." That's it. You didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to sex up the degree. How chilly it was.
By the way, it's going to be the last lunar eclipse of the decade on Sunday night as well. So there's a lot of weather events happening on this day.
That's got to favor the Patriots, right?
Bill Belichick.
The Freezer Bowl. Thank you, in Cincinnati. Minus 9 degrees.
Oh, my God.
-9.
Was anybody there?
That sounded like a polar vortex being blasted into the Arctic.
Oh, thank you.
The wind chill was minus 37.
Oh, my God. I can't even.
In Cincinnati, they call that cold.
Yeah, I think so.
James calling from Pinole. How are you, James?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
I want to agree with you guys. This is ridiculous. I've been to Alaska and lived there for 3 years. I've stood on the Arctic Circle. I've gone to work at negative 52. I'm also an air traffic controller that has given meteorological reports to aircraft. I've never heard of Arctic Blast or Polar Vortex.
Thank you.
Really?
Thank you. They never, in Juneau, they weren't like, "Oh, be careful today. There's an Arctic blast coming on down from the Bering Straits."
No, never. I've never heard of that ever before.
Thank you, James. Thank you for being a reasonable listening member of my audience. I need more people like you. I
liked his knowledge.
I'm calling nonsense when I see it. Arctic Blast is something that Roger Goodell had four people invent as soon as this game got scheduled for Arrowhead.
I'm texting my friend Mary Lee. She's a meteorologist. I'm getting to the bottom of this.
Arctic Blast. Let me tell you, are they kicking off first? Is the Kansas City game the first game?
No, Rams and Saints at 12:05, Patriots at Chiefs at 3:40.
Okay, because the real experiment would have been if the Kansas City Patriots game were so exciting, they would have told you, "Hey, coming up next, they're having an Arctic blast inside the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Stick around. Arctic Blast, New Orleans." It's like CSI Miami. Arctic Blast, New Orleans, coming up. Somebody's making a peppermint patty joke up here. We're just going to go ahead and ignore that. But thank you, text line. I do see you. It's officially now time, Albie, for the most amazing thing.
Oh, my God. It's going to be amazing.
Text, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
God, this is gonna be...
Don't say it, I swear to God.
Now, it's time for the most amazing thing.
It's amazing.
Okay, so the most amazing thing just changed a little bit because the new most amazing thing is the last two texts. The last two texts that have come across the Chilton Autobody text line are maybe the most clever back-to-back texts I have ever seen. On the Chilton Autobody text line. First text says, "Hey, Damon, Arctic Blast is just a blizzard produced by DJ Khalid." That is fantastic. Second one says, "Damon, Polar Vortex says it's cold. Arctic Blast says hold my beer." That's great. Those are seriously the two funniest back-to-back texts I have ever seen. On this Chilton Autobody text line. All right. Enough with the Arctic blasting. It's officially time to give you your most amazing thing, and that is about Tom Brady. Tom Brady, by the way, has been to 12 AFC title games. He's won 8 of them. So if you wanted to take Tom Brady in this game, history might suggest it's on your side, okay? So is this. An article by Carl Rasmussen I saw. Brady's been to the playoffs in all but three of his NFL seasons. He's made it to the playoffs 16 times in his career, and during his 16 playoff trips, he's amassed 27 victories. Tom Brady has more playoff wins himself than 27 NFL franchises.
Wow.
Brady has more playoff wins all by himself than all but five NFL teams. And if you took the bottom five teams combined, the Jaguars, Lions, Buccaneers, Bengals, and Texans, and you combine all five of those franchises, they have only combined for 27 wins. You can add together the Jaguars, Lions, Buccaneers, Bengals, and Texan postseason history, and it equals Tom Brady. By the way, the Detroit Lions have been playing football in the NFL since the advent of the light bulb. Okay? That is just amazing.
That's crazy. That really is amazing.
There's not a lot of numbers that just stop me in my tracks, but there you go. Tom Brady has more playoff wins than 27 NFL franchises. So if you'd like to put your money behind him, it's not the worst idea I've ever heard of. It really isn't. Real quick, we go to Duffy in Santa Rosa on our Arctic Blast hotline. How are you, Duffy?
Well, thank you, Damon. I've been a long-time listener, as they say. I am doing very well. Thank you.
Excellent.
Listen to you online.
Thank you.
And just want to let you know about the Arctic Blast. Unfortunately, it comes on the east side of the Rockies, and just, you know, with the plains, it's just so, you know, nothing is there to stop it from the Canadian winds.
So it comes like down from the plains, like the song in Oklahoma. Thank you, Duffy. We got to run. It's 4 o'clock, and we've got BJ Armstrong right around the corner. But thank you very much. Somebody has linked to me a Wikipedia page that said Arctic Blast was actually the name of a movie. Somebody says that Arctic Blast should be trending on Twitter.
It probably already is. Maybe it's a ploy by Gatorade.
Somebody says Arctic Blast should be a week-long music festival in Juneau.
Wow.
That is good. Fantastic. Well done. So our most amazing thing is officially in the books, which means it's time to get to BJ Armstrong as we begin 4 o'clock.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
4 o'clock here on the Damon Bruce Show. Good to have you along, and it's great to say hello to BJ Armstrong, a three-time NBA world champion. He is an executive vice president and managing executive at the Wasserman Media Group. He represents Draymond Green and Pierre Two-Time, who we certainly still love up here, a little JaVale McGee love. BJ Armstrong here on 95.7 The Game. BJ, it's a pleasure to have you back on the station. It's great to have you on the show. How are you, sir?
Oh, it's great. Pleasure to be here. You guys do a terrific job, and thanks again for having me on.
Thanks very much. Let's just lay down a couple of facts here so you know where the show is approaching this from. Draymond Green is the closest thing I think the show has to a spirit animal. We love him. I'm an Indiana guy. I loved him when he was at Michigan State, like Big Ten Player of the Year. Don't sleep on that guy. The NBA did, and he's been putting it on this association ever since. I'm a huge Draymond Green fan. I love him. I love to hate him when that's the right thing to do for that day. You know, like he is such an interesting guy. What is it like to work with him? Is he as interesting as a client as he is a basketball player?
Well, working in this profession and working with young people and, you know, being an ex-player myself, so I get an opportunity to see the behind the scenes. So the great thing about working with all of the clients that I happen to work with, and working with over 40, 50-some clients that are currently now in the NBA, is I get the chance to see the person. And, you know, watching what they do publicly and their perception, you know, I deal with the actual human side of the client. So dealing with Draymond has been nothing short of it's been an incredible ride to watch him, what he's been able to accomplish professionally, what he's been able to achieve as a young man, and knowing his story and his life story and being able to meet his family. And now he has a son. So being able to watch this, you know, I see it. I think as a sports fan, we all think we know who these people are. And being an ex-player, you know, people still come up to me to this day and say, hey, I remember you when you played there in Chicago. But the truth of it is, you know, you just saw me play for, you know, whatever, a couple hours in your living room. And you don't get a chance to meet people. So the person that you may think you know with Draymond is not who he really is. And it's been a joy. It's been a treat to work with him and watch this young man progress. And what he's been able to accomplish in his career, you know, is nothing but sort of remarkable. I mean, he's having a Hall of Fame-like career. And I don't think that's something that anyone would have said when he was at Michigan State, that this young man was going to achieve what he's been able to achieve thus far in his career in the NBA.
I tell you, I really think that championships for this team have flowed through him, if not a point total, a desire, a heartbeat. He's just he's that barking dog that every great team needs. And what he does for this team defensively is amazing. And he's about to be paired in a front court with DeMarcus Cousins. And when I think about problems for other NBA teams, I don't think we've talked about it enough, BJ. What a front court the Warriors got coming. We know how good their backcourt is, but DeMarcus and Draymond together. I mean, what basketball fan isn't interested in that experiment?
Well, I think it is. And, you know, working with players who come off of injuries, and especially an injury like that, you know, Derrick Rose being a client and watching him be able to achieve what he's been able to achieve, you know, this year. And it takes time. And I think to be fair and to be fair with DeMarcus is the DeMarcus of old that we all, you know, it's, you know, we saw what he was able to do in his career and the numbers he was able to put up. I don't know if that DeMarcus is going to be there when he comes back.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he's not going to be that player. But knowing DeMarcus is going to be on a team where he doesn't have to be that, and he can integrate his skill set and his ability to play and play winning basketball on a winning team and be able to really infuse his talent, whatever he's able to give for the remaining of the season and into the playoffs, I think will be only beneficial to him as his career moves forward. He's still a young man. So I think it will be a great opportunity for him to learn. I think it will be great for him to play alongside of Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and those guys and see the level that it takes to be called a champion, let alone, you know, go out there and take on the other team's best shot night in and night out. And they've been doing this now for 4 or 5 years. So I think it will be excellent. It's great for the fans. I know I'm interested just like everyone else, but in all truthfulness, I don't think it's fair for him or for any of us to expect him to be that DeMarcus Cousins, especially coming off of the significant injury that he's had. But I think he'll show glimpses, you know, and that's what the players do. And I remember getting Derek to this point. I mean, it just takes time where they have to trust their body and they allow their bodies to get adjusted to, you know, the grind of the NBA season, let alone playing at the level that's going to be expected there up there in Golden State.
Yeah, DeMarcus doesn't need to be 25-12 anymore. If he were just 15-8 on any night, that goes a long way for this basketball team. And, you know, BJ, I'm thinking his game was always sort of attached to the floor. He was never a rim runner. He was never a leaper. And am I off base saying that, you know, DeMarcus's game kind of fits the rehab that he's gone through? Like, he's sort of a floor-bound player anyways.
Well, you know, I think how he plays and, you know, his style of play, you know, I think you're right. You know, he wasn't really, his game didn't depend on his athletic ability.
Right.
The interesting thing that I'm really curious about and watching him when he does return is playing at the pace that the Warriors play. Okay, the Warriors they play the game at a different pace than we're used to watching a DeMarcus Cousins. You know, let's face it, this game now has gone small ball, And DeMarcus is a big man who has required touches. He's put up massive numbers. You know, you don't put up 25 and 12 without getting the proper amount of touches to do such. So now he has to play a game that's going to be predicated on speed and quickness, pace and space, as you hear, you know, popular phrase you hear now in the NBA, in the NBA circle. So I'm interested to see how Coach Kerr and the staff are going to integrate his skill set, especially with the second unit. I think that's where he will flourish as he gets in better shape as the year goes on. I think he's really going to be the anchor, if you will anchor his second unit, and which will make the Warriors that much better, because they'll have a second unit now where the first unit, Steph Curry and those guys won't have to play 38, 39 minutes, especially during the regular season. And if he's able to do that and be able to get the touches and play through him on the second unit, I think it will be a tremendous experiment for the Warriors and for DeMarcus Cousins.
Warriors Live starts at 4:30 tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Right now we're talking with B.J. Armstrong. They're in Denver tonight, B.J. Did you hate playing in Denver? Did altitude get to you?
The altitude is no joke. And anyone who's experienced that or had the opportunity to have to do some type of physical activity will tell you such. It's for real. And but you know what? You have to really try to get your second win there quickly as you can, because the altitude can be it can be bothersome up there. But take nothing away from that team, where they're playing great basketball, and my Jokic and Murray and those young kids up there. So I'm sure they have a lot to do with creating the havoc that they've been creating up there this year, but give them credit as well.
BJ, how close were you and Bob Myers to bringing back JaVale McGee to the Warriors? I tell you, we miss him up here. We really do.
We did. It was a great run for JaVale. I mean, it was Bob and I worked together before he, you know, became the general manager up there. So I've been knowing Bob for many years, and we did everything we could, and you know, to get him back. But at the same time, it just didn't work because of the timing of it. You know, we had no idea that DeMarcus was coming. We had to make some decisions, and JaVale made the decision, you know what, we tried to wait as long as we could, but the Lakers were coming and were asking, and we saw an opportunity. And I think it worked out for everyone. But JaVale was very fond of his time up there. We loved it up there, of course, you know, playing with Draymond and the guys, and he won two championships. And the fans were just terrific in the way they accepted JaVale, and it was a great two-year run that he had up there.
B.J. Armstrong here on 95.7 The Game. It was a couple years, two, 3 years, when you were with the Golden State Warriors, B.J.? Was it three seasons from 95 to 97, right?
Yeah, it was. And I was up there with Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway and Sprewell and all of the guys up there. So Danielle Marshall, you know, it was an interesting time up there. And I really always enjoyed it. You know, 1 year we played down in San Jose, so I got a chance to get around the Bay a little bit. And I lived in the city the 2 or 3 years that I played up there. So it was great times. The fans were always great, even though those were, you know, we weren't winning championships, but I remember they would always come, and they would always show up, and they were very supportive of the Warriors fans. So I got a taste of what it was like to be a Warriors fan, and it was really great times up there for me and my family.
Now, did you get a season in the old arena, and then a season down at San Jose, and then a season in the rebuilt arena?
Yes, I did. So I got it in the old arena, then I went down to San Jose, then I got the new arena when it came back. So I got a chance to see it, and the one thing I always remember is how knowledgeable the Bay Area fans were, and how passionate they were about their team. And it was great. And we had some guys that were there, you know, when Chris was there and Tim and Sprewell and the guys. And so we had some good times up there. And it was, you know, great times in the Bay Area and in Oracle Arena.
Is it true that you could smell a ton of weed in the old arena, and then they cleaned that up when the new arena started?
I can't recall that, but that could be possible. I just don't recall it.
So maybe that's a yes if you really think about it, right? BJ Armstrong joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Of course, you played with Steve Kerr in Chicago. Did you think you were playing with a future NBA head coach? Did he give you any tips or inclinations that laid in his future?
I did not see that one coming. You know, I never suspected at all that Steve was even thought about being a head coach. You know, he was a great teammate, and we would always talk basketball and, you know, different philosophies. And I know he was very detailed in his approach to the game. He's very, very professional. I never suspected that he ever wanted to be a head coach. But it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't shock me knowing his background and being able to know what I know about Steve and how he approaches the game. So, you know, he's a class act. He was, you know, I'm very happy and very proud to call him a teammate, a friend, and his communication skills and what he's been able to do with the players and the things he's been able to achieve as a coach speaks for themselves. And so I'm really happy for him, but I never thought in my wildest dreams that he would ever be a head coach.
Hey, BJ, we started this conversation with Draymond Green. Let's wrap up since you do represent him. What would another championship mean to his legacy? I know he was talking about Defensive Player of the Year when the season started. I think injury, maybe some Warrior voting biases is a reality, might take right. That away from any Golden State Warrior. Individual accolades are going to be hard to come by when a team is having this much success and set up to be this dominant. So what would another parade mean to Draymond's legacy?
Well, I think anyone who knows Draymond and who's been around Draymond, at the end of the day, what you love most about him and what I love about this kid is that winning is all that matters. You know, all of the things that are going on around him and things you may hear about him or things he may say, at the bottom line or the core of who he is as a person is he's just about winning. And his basketball integrity, his basketball IQ, and all of the things that you want in a player, he's going to give it to you night in and night out. He's effort and energy, he's going to bring that. He's going to bring his heart and soul to the game. And I always tell him, don't ever change. You know, that's what makes you a special player is you bring it every single night. So winning for him would mean everything because he understands the moment. You know, what you did last year was last year. This is a new year. You have new challenges. You have new teams. You know, teams are emerging and teams are trying to figure out how to beat the Warriors. And he's not going to give that up. So I think winning this year, especially in all the obstacles and things you got to do, knowing how hard it is to win in this league, let alone win a championship, would mean the world to him. Unquestionably, he's going to put every ounce of energy that he has into it and give himself every chance to win that because, you know, that young man there is a winner. If there's any doubt about that, then you don't know Draymond Green. He's a winner, and he's going to give you everything he's got.
BJ, thank you so much. What a pleasurable conversation. This was fantastic. Appreciate your time this afternoon, and best of luck to you and all you're doing, man. It's great to see you so successful in your post-playing days. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Again, keep doing your thing, and thanks again for having me on.
BJ Armstrong here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, BJ, for coming on. So, we got ourselves a little Warriors basketball right around the corner. We're less than 15 minutes away from Steiny and Guru, who I've seen walking around the station, which means they're back and they're ready to go. Hopefully, the Warriors are ready to go tonight. They're going to need 100% focus to go into Denver and win tonight. Denver is very good at home. They're 18-3 at the Pepsi Center. They've been 8-2 in just their last 10 games. One of those losses, easy to see against Houston. The other loss, a little harder to understand because that came at the Phoenix Suns for some reason. They dropped that game. I'll tell you, tonight, Alphonso McKinney, who's coming off a team-high 10 bench points, and Kevon Looney will go an awful long way to deciding this one tonight. They really will, especially Looney, who you got to figure has got to be there to help Draymond Green. Red flag on Draymond Green tonight. Draymond Green, I don't know if you're going to be able to get yourself back into the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. That ship may have sailed. may have pulled away without you. You go ahead and you bottle up a guy who everyone agrees is one of the most athletic, playmaking, skilled big men in the NBA. He can beat you from the perimeter, from the mid-range, from the low block. This is an interesting matchup for the Warriors tonight. And let me come back to what we're about to get into. We're about to have a brand new version of the Warriors. As a matter of fact, the Chilton Auto Body text line says, Damon, Arctic Blast should be the new nickname of the Hamptons Five. Like, now that Cousins is in, Hamptons Five has evolved into Arctic Blast. Hey, if it were normally colder around the Bay Area, I might agree with you. That's such an intimidating name, Arctic Blast. Do you realize that we're about to get Boogie Cousins and Draymond Green in the same front court? Forget about the possibility for technicals in new ways we've never even imagined. We have not talked about this enough. This one topic alone, a topic that we got so much Golden State Warrior basketball, we got so many things to put our eyes and attention on each and every night. We haven't even really discussed this. That alone would be enough to carry an entire sports talk radio week in any town in America. We're just getting to it now.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins and Draymond Green in the same front court. Look, I don't think we should count on DeMarcus Cousins being his old self. You're not going to be your old self coming back off an Achilles injury, even though we just saw Richard Sherman give us the single best case scenario of what you could hope for. I don't think DeMarcus Cousins signs up for that route. I don't think he's going to be 25-12. He doesn't need to be 25-12. If he is 12-8, that's parade, folks. He comes in, gives the Warriors 12-8 the rest of the way. I don't know if he's looking at a max contract in another market when this season's over, but I know the Warriors are looking out from their own parade route in Oakland one last time if DeMarcus can give them that. Like I was talking about with B.J. Armstrong, he's always been floor bound. There's never been a moment in DeMarcus Cousins' entire career where his ability to be effective that night was predicated on his leaping skills, on his ability to play above the rim. He is a back-to-the-basket, post-up, pick-and-pop, bring-it-out-to-the-perimeter big man. Modern big man. I think the modern big man is going to fit in very well on the most modern team you can find for basketball. Certainly skilled to be the most modern team. I don't know if they're playing at the most modern pace. You got teams pushing the pace past what the Warriors even do right now. But man, what's coming up is going to be so exciting. It's going to be so fun to watch. The evolution of the team in this week alone is going to be worth its own podcast, time capsule, documentary, 30 for 30. This is going to be fun. Tonight, you're going to get the best of the Denver Nuggets. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Warriors actually drop this one tonight, only because if I'm thinking this much about DeMarcus, how could they not be? How can you not be thinking about, no matter what we are tonight, well, it really doesn't matter because that's not what we're going to be on Friday. If you know the team that you are turns into a team that is something else in just two more games, how much do the last two games really matter to you? And again, Steve Kerr, quietly rooting for Denver. Are you already putting together your all-star game plan?
How do you know I'm not quietly cheering for Denver every day?
Ooh! Oh, by the way, we were really looking to break some news on today's show. There it is. Steve Kerr, joking around with us last week. Again, he probably doesn't want to go to another All-Star game. He'd rather have the weekend off. Well, the Denver Nuggets would rather have the Golden State Warriors in their building than any other team in the NBA because the regular season is a proving ground for them. They're trying to show that they belong. Kevin Durant was being very, very nice talking about Denver, saying they've already arrived.
They're established right now. You know what I'm saying? They know how they're going to play. They have an identity. They're not an up-and-coming team anymore. So you just look at them as one of the elite teams. You just got to have a good night against.
I can prove to you they're still up-and-coming. They haven't been to the playoffs since Andre Iguodala changed in the home locker room at the Pepsi Center. It's been that long. Basically, the Golden State Warriors dynasty has been going on as long as the Nuggets have been absent from the playoffs. They came close last year. They had a 40-win season not too long before that. Like, they were on the edge. They were that 10-9 seed. They played in overtime last year to figure out who was going to be the 8 seed, and they lost to the Timberwolves. Damon, happy 420. Puff, puff, get him. Okay. Well, yeah, 2 minutes ago, I guess you're technically right. Speaking of happy birthday to our producer, Albie. What I respect about Albie is he didn't tell anybody about this today. He wasn't looking for happy birthdays. He didn't play this up to the happy birthday card. Elena had to spill the beans about Albie. It is Albie's birthday. Well, how old are you today? 32?
32. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Mitch Connor.
Yes. You do a great job for the show, obviously. We're thrilled to be working with you. We like you an awful lot. Feel free to stick around until at least Friday.
Friday, I'm out Friday. I'm going to Costa Rica, but I will be here until Friday, I promise you.
All right, screw you on your 32nd birthday going to Costa Rica.
Where are you guys? I'm going home.
Living better than
good
us.
Good life, I God. Know. Jeez.
Well, there are no weddings this year for me to worry about, so
oh,
it's
so
just going to be
pure
this
vacation.
This is my
time?
One vacation. No, this is it. It's a wrap.
You have to be the only major market producer in the United States who takes more vacation time than either host.
I swear to you, last year was just an aberration. It was just bachelor party, wedding, bachelor party, wedding. That's what happens when you turn 31.
Like in amazing locations, too.
I mean, yeah.
You are in that age.
And they were all like destination bachelor.
Yeah, like Mexico, all kinds of different places.
It was a rough year.
More time back, though. More time spent away from the show. I'll be on vacation or Gianna when she goes on pregnancy leave.
I'll be on vacation.
No way.
What's it called? Maternity leave. Not pregnancy leave.
Yeah.
Maternity leave. There you go.
And we got a wrap.
I'm very modern. Let's get out to the Warriors live, which means I got to get out of the way because they're not at Oracle. They are here.
Yes, they are.
They, by the way, are Steiny and Guru, and they're right around the corner for you here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks to John Dickinson. Thanks to B.J. Armstrong. Thanks to all of you. And thanks to Arctic Blast. I never knew we would get as much content out of that as we did today. Albie, happy birthday. Elena, merci beaucoup. And c'est si bon. Gianna.
Damon.
Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
There's no Arctic Blast. It's cold.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.